Welcome to another virtual author chat at the Poison Pen Bookstore. I'm John Charles, and today I'm delighted to welcome back one of my favorite authors, Sheila Roberts, whose new book, The 12 Months of Christmas, is just coming out. Before we begin, I'd like to let those listening in know the Poison Pen does have copies on order, and we would be happy to hold one for you or put one in the mail. Just give us a call or go online to the Poison Pen Bookstore. Now I'd like to welcome Sheila Roberts.
And I would like to say thank you for having me. I know I tell you this a lot, John Charles, but you are just one of my favorite people in the whole wide world. If I could just bundle you up and like bring you home with me, I would be doing that in a heartbeat. But Robert doesn't let me bring home men, so that's kind of sad. So there you have it.
There you go. That's very sweet of you. I've known you for years and loved your books, but let's start first by having you tell us a little bit about yourself prior to becoming an author, because you have what I like to call a rather eclectic career path.
I do. You know, I was writing little stories when I was a kid, but I was also writing little songs. And before I became a writer, I wanted to be a songwriter. Many trips to Nashville, a small fortune in song demos and airplane fares. And you'd get down there and you'd meet big movers and shakers. And then you'd come back and you'd call them. They'd say, "Who are you?" So I tell you what, we talk about how tough the publishing business is, but the music business. And that was way back. Things have changed so much in the music business. I'm sure it's even tougher now than it was when I was young and the pterodactyls flew. So that has changed. But so, yeah, so songwriting. So I did a lot of music-oriented things. I had a singing telegram company. I played in bands. I did all kinds of crazy things, all in the name of music and money and just having a good time. So I am kind of a bit of a ham. So I've done a lot of different things over the years, but you know, I think you end up doing what you're supposed to be doing. And I just sort of fell into my writing career and that has lasted. And I remember when I sold my first book, this is after many trips to Nashville, my husband said, "Why don't you stick with writing? You're actually making some money doing that." So that was kind of how we said goodbye to music. I always like to point out though, and you ever are on YouTube and wanting a fun Christmas song, look for "Merry Christmas, Mama," and you'll see the book, the song that we wrote went with one of my older books, "Merry Xmas," and we had so much fun writing that song and doing that music video. It's one of the most fun things I've ever done, making a music video. So that's pretty fun.
That does sound like fun. Which brings us to your new book, The 12 Months of Christmas. What can you tell us about that book?
Well, this book is about restarts. My main characters in this, three women friends, they all have Christmas fails. And they think, you know, we've got to do better than this. So they decide, okay, let's do Christmas in January. We're going to try that. We'll do a party in January. And after January, they're kind of like, let's do February. And pretty soon they're like, we should do this every month. And part of the reasoning behind that is that, of course, they all have their challenges. Each one has their own story. And they decide that it's really not a bad idea to work on keeping the Christmas spirit going all year long and the whole joy of the season. So we're going to have some happy moments, hopefully a few giggles and some laughter and some tears. This book does have a teary moment in it, but I'm a big believer in happy endings. We can't always get them in life. And so I'm determined to always give them in my fiction. So I can guarantee readers a happy ending, but I do like the message behind the book of let's keep that good spirit going throughout the year.
I think it's important. And I think what I liked about the book was you capture kind of the joys of the holiday season, but you're not shy about the real kind of struggles that people go through in their ordinary life. It's not just always one exciting moment after the other. It's kind of in a way like It's a Wonderful Life. You have those bright moments and those a little bit darker moments, but that's everyone's experience.
I think, don't you, that often, I mean, we're always like, why do bad things happen in the world? What they do. But sometimes the dark moments make the bright moments shine even more brightly. And I think that's always a good thing to keep in mind. We do come into the holidays with what high expectations. We're all going to, and but now that we have all our great social media, everyone's always got a great new recipe. You can do our fabulous way to decorate your house. And it's almost like we feel like we have to live up to this thing. And we don't. We just have to celebrate for the reason for the season. and enjoy each other. And I know sometimes that's hard because families have problems, people have problems, but I'm hoping that this book will encourage people to think, let's just go beyond the problems. If Christmas didn't go well, how can we make things better in the new year? So
That's a wonderful message. You've been writing holiday-themed books for a number of years. We won't say how many because that dates both of us. But
I was 12.
why do you think Christmas and the holiday season is so popular with writers? What is it about it that appeals to readers?
I think we love that snow globe effect of everything being charming and loving, and the cute scene set up, the snow, the cookies, the music. Christmas is such a festive holiday. I think that's part of why we're drawn to it. We're drawn to the whole idea of family togetherness, of hope and of joy. And I think that's partly why people love to read books at the holidays. We're all looking for that message.
I think that's true. And I think you emphasize that in your book about capturing that feeling and experiencing it throughout the year. What kinds of tips would you give for people to incorporate happy holidays into their life?
I think it's about, don't feel like you've got to set the stage, you know, and try to keep it going. So in this book, every month there's a different party. Every month there's a different crisis. Every month there's a different story going on. But the women all find ways of fun things to do. One of my favorite things they do is in July, they all are in their shorts and put on their Santa hats and they go caroling around the neighborhood and give out little gifties. And I think just little things like that. Sometimes we think we have to do things that are big productions. And life does not have to be a big production. It really doesn't. The good things in life are the small things. And then that all adds up into something big and better. And so there's a lot of small things being done in this book that these women are doing to keep each other encouraged. And I think that's something we all can do throughout the year. What fun small thing can I do to make this month a little more special?
Do you have any special holiday traditions of your own that you enjoy?
I do actually. We, for several years, I'm just started doing this again with one of my granddaughters. My daughter and I used to do gingerbread houses. And those are pretty, because I was not going to buy a kitten. So I'd make the gingerbread. Oh my gosh, we had so many swayback gingerbread houses. One time a roof fell in. I mean, it's just like, so finally my daughter bought these little, you know, plastic dinosaurs. And we would just put the dinosaurs around and say, the dinosaurs came and crashed the houses. And I remember one year we did this and I invited one of my girlfriends and her daughter to come and they bought the kits. And so they're happily decorated. They're little kits with their gumdrops. And we're just trying to get our house to stand up. So, I mean, it was pretty funny. So I think I've gotten to the point where my gingerbread house will now stand up. So that's one thing. And then the big thing I always look forward to is Christmas Eve with the family. I am the quiet one in my family, if you can believe it. And so we are pretty raucous, rowdy bunch, but we have a great time. We have fun and games and caroling. Someone always reads the Christmas story from the Bible, and I eat way too many cookies. And then I go on my diet, which lasts about 2 days. And that's how that works. But so Christmas really is my favorite holiday. And I just look forward to those kind of things. This year, I am planning to do some Christmas cookie baking with my granddaughter and my daughter. And I'm looking forward to that.
That's great. One of the other things I enjoyed about the book, and what you've also said in other conversations you've had with readers, is that everyone needs to experience the holiday in a way that is meaningful to them, that you can't judge what you do for the holidays by what Martha Stewart does or anybody else. Pick something that you like. So if you want a quiet Christmas, that's perfectly fine. If you want...
Absolutely. Because we are all different temperaments and we all have a different definition of special. So I think, again, let's not be living up to what let's not even be living up to what Sheila thinks is a good Christmas. You go do what's going to be meaningful for you because it's your life.
That's great. That's an important message. In addition to your annual holiday themed book, you have a couple of series that you've been writing for a number of years. Icicle Falls was one. Now it's Moonlight Harbor. And your book from last spring was Mermaid Beach, if I'm remembering correctly. And that was kind of a special, at least my impression was it was a special book because there was a certain theme to the story. The characters were kind of, I got the impression that all of your books are important to you, but this one was just that little extra bit.
It was because it was talking about going after your dreams. And I think sometimes we give up on that. And frankly, one of my favorite quotes is Walt Disney. He said, "If you can dream it, you can do it." And I love that quote. And I think sometimes life gets us down, or we have obligations, or we get sidetracked to remember what we really wanted to do in the first place. And I think sometimes we think, "Well, I'm too old to do this now." And you're never too old to do something that you've wanted to do. You're never too old to write that memoir. You're never too old to write a song. You're never too old to take that trip. You're never too old to fix a broken relationship. As long as we're here, there's time to do these things. And I think that's an important message. And that particular book, Mermaid Beach, we took the gals from Moonlight Harbor to Nashville, my favorite place, and they had their own little music adventures. And it was interesting because sometimes, as in the case of one of the characters, you think, this is what I really want. I want to be in the land of Oz. And then you finally come full circle and realize, wait, there really is no place like home. I am really doing well just where I am. So sometimes dreams can even change or be reinvented. We think, oh, this was my dream, and really it was something else. You know, and so I think, John Charles, you and I are both kind of living the dream. We're doing what we've wanted to do. We're doing what we love to do. And I just think that that's achievable for most everyone.
Was a really powerful book in a quiet way, but an important way because you kind of illustrated that each of us need to look at what we thought we wanted as a dream, as a goal, as a hope. And if it meets our expectations, we don't have to worry about what other people think. I mean, if you're singing in your church choir and that makes you happy, you don't have to be on Broadway necessarily.
Isn't that the truth? And church choirs need people, and organizations need volunteers. I think sometimes we always want to be doing the sexy thing, you know, and it's like, this should be the career I'm doing, or this should be my big thing. And sometimes your big thing is just shining in the corner where you are. You know, how's that saying go? Bloom where you're planted. And I think sometimes that we do. Oh, how do I want to put this? I think we have more impact than we realize. And I think we tend to overlook that because we're still thinking, well, I have to be the next Taylor Swift, you know, or I have to be the next Nora Roberts. I have to be the next, you fill in the blank. No, what you have to be is the next you. You have to be the you that you're supposed to be. And I need to remember that because sometimes I get sidetracked thinking, well, I have to do this, or I have to do this. Like, no, you have to do what's put in front of you. You have to run your race. My job is not to run anybody else's race but mine.
That's great. Most of your series are set in small towns. What is it about a small community, a small town, that you find so intriguing as a writer? Why do you think readers love visiting these places?
Think because we do tend to idealize them. It's like, and you get that feeling of closeness and community. And I think that can be harder to find in a big city. I Way back when I was in college, I wound up going to the University of Washington. I had a different, smaller place I wanted to go to. All my friends were going there. And I remember stepping on the campus of that. And the University of Washington, for those of you who are not Washingtonians, is huge. It is like a city. And you're like, oh my gosh, how am I going to find my people? And it took a while to find my people. And contrast that with, we actually do have some digs in a, well, in Ocean Shores, which is Moonlight Harbor in disguise. And I love the feel of that. I mean, a traffic jam is when five cars go out on the street for you to have to merge. It's like, oh, a traffic jam. And it's so easy to plug in with community. And I think that's what people are looking for when they read these small town books. It's that sense of community, of belonging, of everybody having a part. And that's not to say you can't have that in a city. You know, every neighborhood, I think there's potential to have that sense of community, but sometimes you really have to go out and work for it. So, but I think that's the big appeal, is that whole community thing.
That's very smart. Another key ingredient to your books, pun intended, is there's usually food. involved, and you tend to include recipes in many of your books. Was that something that you initially thought you wanted to do? Did it just kind of evolve? How do you develop these recipes? I know some of them are on your website.
Yes. In fact, we've just redone the website, and I think a lot of the recipes are not living there as they once were. So, because of course, we're all on Instagram and TikTok now, we're doing reels of our recipes. I've got reels of myself stuffing my face. Oh my goodness. But I think the reason I started including them is because I like to cook, and I think a lot of readers like to cook. And I think it's just a nice extra bonus you can include in your book. Books, as you know, are not getting any cheaper. And a book is an investment. It is an investment of your time, of your heart, and of your money. And I feel like if I can give a reader a little something extra in that book, then I want to do that. So usually, especially the holiday books, will always have a recipe in them.
That's great. For someone who has not yet read a Sheila Roberts book, and I know that's hard to imagine, but we'll just pretend that there's someone out there. How would you describe the flavor of your writing? How would you tell them this is what my books are like?
Well, my tagline is fun with Sheila, so that should probably give you a clue. But my goal as a writer, I always want to have a moment of laughter, and I want to even maybe have a moment of inspiration. And my hope is that readers will maybe come away inspired to maybe make some changes in their life or appreciate their life. So I guess humor, inspiration, and a happy ending. I know that many literary books are big and deep and depressing. And I feel like there are enough hard things in life that I just don't want to add to that. So I would like to be able to give readers a moment of just happiness and have them shut the book with a smile on their face. And if I've done that, I feel like I've done my job.
You have. I like to think there's a lot of F words in your books, and we'll go with fun,
Thank you for
flirty.
clarifying.
Yes. Flirty, because there's always a little bit of romance to most of your books. There's an emphasis on family and friends. You have that sense of community. And also, we go back to food again, too. So you have that kind of flavor running through, whether it's your holiday books or your regular standalone or connected series books.
I think that's a good way. I think that pretty much sums it up. Family is hugely important to me, and friends. I have brothers, two older brothers. I never had sisters, and so girlfriends are hugely important to me because those are like my sisters. And I think women's friendships are so important. We're little girls. We're just beasts. It's like we eat our own, but then we grow out of that. And women are, I think, are very good at being supportive of each other and make really good friends. And I think that's an important thing to celebrate in a book.
Yes. You've written almost 50 books now, or have you passed the 50
And
mark?
I've passed the 50 mark now,
Wow,
counting.
congratulations.
But I've done, different names and different types of books. I've done everything from write for hire to memoir to nonfiction to my women's fiction. So I've done a variety of, obviously, I have a lot to say.
What do you think is the key to succeeding in publishing as a writer today? What would you, if you could go back to your first starting out as a writer, what would you tell yourself?
I would tell me to just keep working. And work on getting better. These days of self-publishing is both a blessing and a curse. It's wonderful because authors who have a platform who maybe don't quite fit in that niche on the bookstore shelf, they can get a book published. The problem also is though that authors who don't really have not studied their craft can also put up a book. And I think the fact that it's become so easy makes us not as diligent at being good writers. So anybody starting out, I would say just work, learn your craft, study other writers, get books on writing, and really be the best you can be. Because once it is out there in print, that's your reputation. And you want the best reputation you can get. And I'm going to look at a lot of my past books. I'd like to think I've grown as a writer, but the ideal is to do a lot of that growing before everybody sees what you wrote. So, I'm a big believer on really working hard to be the best you can be. And if you feel called that that's what you're supposed to be doing, then just keep with it. Don't give up. It is a tough business, but don't give up because a really book a really good book will eventually find its audience.
That's true. What about Sheila as a reader? Have you always been a big reader? Do you read what you like to write? What are some of the important books in, that have kind of influenced you as a reader?
Oh, I've loved, you know, I remember one of my earliest books as a child was The Wind in the Willows.
Did oh, I love that book.
I loved that book, Mole yeah. and Mr. Toad. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. So I loved that. And Nancy Drew, of course. And I was telling somebody recently, I was an adult. It's only been the last few years that I realized that Carolyn Keene wasn't one person. I'm like, she wasn't? I never realized that. I did not realize it was a name and all these different writers contribute to that. It was a bit of a shock. It was kind of like, you know, somebody saying, well, there's no Santa Claus. It was like, what do you mean there's no Carolyn? And I got to thinking, I guess Betty Crocker was probably more than one person. Yeah. Too. Shock, you know. So anyway, but so I loved those as an then as I got older, I gravitated with the Regency authors. We have Jane Austen and Georgette Heyer. And I don't know if you've ever read, have you ever read any Donald E. Westlake books?
Yes, years ago.
Yeah. Oh, I always had hoped to meet Donald E. Westlake in person. And alas, he's now dead, so I don't get to do that. I'm very bummed. But I love his, and you know, those books, some of them are obviously dated because they're older books, but they're still a really fun read. So things with humor. Kristen Higgins, oh my gosh, all her romances. I love books with humor. I just really do. So that's kind of what I gravitated toward.
That's interesting. Anything recent that you've loved that you read and would like to share?
Yes, I should have thought to have the book here. It was called Nora Goes Off Script. I don't know if you've ever read that.
Yeah.
That is so fun. That is such a cute read. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. And I did start to read a mystery. I actually, it's so weird. Here I'm talking to the guy at the poison pen and saying, I have a hard time reading mysteries. And I'm not sure why that is. I like to watch them on TV. That makes no sense.
No, but it does.
I did. You're going to have to recommend me some good mysteries. I started to read one and I'm such a little prissy face. I found the language really off-putting. So I need to find like vintage mystery type books that's like Sheila friendly. So if you could recommend me some mystery books at some point, I would be up for giving that another try.
I'm going to make a note. That'll be a project for me to do.
Because a project for you. Find a Sheila friendly mystery.
Well, I think you bring up a good point because I think for people who are just coming back to reading or maybe have not been big readers in their lives, they don't understand that genres like women's fiction and romance, there's a wide range of different kinds of books. The same thing in mysteries. You may hate one particular mystery author or genre. It doesn't appeal to you as a reader, but there's another one out there that could be completely different. So, yeah.
For sure. And there are great cozy. I've read some cozies. There's a huge range in that. And there's like romance. Some of us want a lot of heat. Some of us just, I don't want to look. But there's something for everyone, like you said, in the genre. So it's kind of like, don't give up if you happened to read something that wasn't your particular taste. Keep looking and you'll find something that's going to appeal to you.
I think that's true.
Don't give up on reading.
No, but I would add a caveat to that, which took me, I think, my first 35 years to learn, is if you're reading a book and you hate it, you don't have to finish it. You can give up on a particular book. There's nothing that says you have to read that book. I know there are some people, it's like, by God, Yes.
But it shouldn't be, reading should not be torture. Reading should be fun and enlightening and something you look forward to doing. Oh, by the way, I'm reading The Aviator's Wife, which is very interesting, about Charles Lindbergh and his wife. And that's an eye opener. Mm-hmm. And again, so it just shows there are so many books out there, so many different things that you can read. I've reached a point, I'm like, life is short. If it's not doing it for me, I'm going to move on. And that particular book will be for somebody else, you know? So I just think that's a good thing to do, because we authors know we're not going to please everybody. You find your clan, you find your peeps, and then we all hang together. We all read together and we all talk about books together, and we can talk about books no matter what our taste in books.
So what's next for Sheila? I know you just have a book coming out, but I'm hoping there's something in the spring from you.
Oh, I'm so excited. You're here to hear first. I can't tell you how excited I am about this book. It's called The Best Life Book Club. And it's actually about a group of women who start a book club together and their many adventures as they grow as people and what they learn from these books. And I had so much fun coming up with the books they read. Every book except for one is one that I just came out of Sheila's head are just fictional. So I'm quoting for all these fictional authors, but there is one that's a real bad book, and that has to do with what's going on in the plot. But I'm very, very excited about this book, and I'm hoping book clubs are going to think this would be a fun read. So, and I think the purpose behind the book is an homage to books and how they affect our lives. Books have a big impact on us, and I think books should be celebrated.
That sounds amazing. April is when it's coming.
I think it comes out the first week in May.
Yeah,
once I, I'll, John Charles, I'll have to, once we have the cover finalized, I'll have to send it to you so you can see it.
Yes, you've already intrigued me and piqued my interest. I mean, I love your books, but this one is like with whipped cream and a cherry on top or something.
Oh,
like
I that. Hope so. I hope readers are going to love it. I love it, but you know, authors love all their brain babies. So you never know, but I am hoping that readers are going to enjoy it.
That's great. And how can readers learn more about you and your books? Do you have a website?
Yes, just if you type Google Sheila Roberts, Sheila's Place, that'll pop right up. I'm on Instagram, Fun with Sheila. I'm on TikTok even, getting in touch with my inner 20-year-old. And I'm on Facebook, of course, with my writer's page, Fun with Sheila. And on that page, we get together once every month and do something fun and community-oriented. So if you haven't found me on any of those places, I hope you will. And hopefully maybe someday in the future, you'll be able to find me at the Poison Pen. I'm not giving up. I want to come see you in person.
We're going to get you here by hook or by crook.
One of these days.
I can't believe how quickly our 30 minutes have just flown by. It's been an absolute delight having Sheila Roberts here virtually, if not in person, talking about her new book, The 12 Months of Christmas, which is soon to be near you in a library or bookstore, and getting some information on what's coming new from you, Sheila. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate so much you taking time to have me, as always. Just always fun to talk to you.
It's a delight. If you're looking for a fun holiday read with some important messages, pick up Sheila's new book or try one of her previous releases. Thank you for tuning in to another virtual author chat at the Poison Pen. Thank you for Sheila for sharing your time.
Hello. We hope you're enjoying our programs and podcasts with authors. We'd like to expand them, and your help would be appreciated. Please make a donation at poisonedpenfoundation.org. 100% of the proceeds will go to help connect authors with readers in this difficult time. Thank you.